Yeah, so in 2027 for the Rugby World Cup, we are the preferred candidate to host. And joining us now is the bid director, former Wallaby, of course, Phil Kearns. Kearnsy, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. Couldn't be better. A little weary, but pretty good.
So, preferred candidate, those two words to host in 2027. So, what happens next?
Well, what it means essentially is World Rugby isn't talking to anyone else. You know, previously we had some competition in there, but now that competition's gone, and now it's really the final negotiation stage with World Rugby and also with our federal and state governments here to put the whole puzzle together, and we're pretty close. The formal announcement of who actually gets it, and hopefully us, is in May of 2022. And so at the moment, the way I like to describe it is we're 20 points up with 5 minutes to go.
Well, we can't afford to drop the ball then, Kearnsy. Congratulations, mate. It's big news over here in Australia. And of course, we all remember the last World Cup back in 2003, where it was just a sensational event. Unfortunately, we lost to England in that final. But will it be sort of similar, but it'll be run similar to what it was back then in terms of venues and going around Australia playing it in different states?
Yeah, it will. I mean, there have been some changes in World Rugby to the grounds that they have mandated you can play the game at. So, for example, everyone has to have a seat. There are certain sizes mandated for the finals and semi-finals of the size of stadium you can play in. And they've limited the amount of venues to between 8 to 10 venues around the country. So, you know, one of the great things about our bid is we're a safe pair of hands, and that's what we've said to World Rugby. We've got these great stadia from, you know, you go up to the Townsville Stadium that's brand new, across to Perth, which is only, you know, three or four years old over there and already held Bledisloe Cups. The Adelaide Oval's been revamped. We've got a brand new Sydney Football Stadium coming online soon, and you know we've just got magnificent stadium infrastructure to hold it. So we're a safe pair of hands, and as you know, Laurie, we know how to run big events here. We've had Olympics, we've had Comm Games, we've had Cricket World Cups. You know, we've had Rugby World Cups before. We do big events well.
Kearnsy, at what stage do the Wallabies then start prepping for this as a team? I know it's a long way away, but I think every sporting organisation has a focus on a major event. You always got one eye on that. When do we, in regards to picking players looking forward, when do we see that process start, or has it already started?
I think it's already started, Clarkey. I think, you know, there's some young juniors coming through now, and they're probably the 16, 17, 18 years of age at the moment. And so in 6 years' time, they're starting to get towards, you know, their peak around age 24, something like that. And you know, the great thing about these World Cups, as you well know, it gives kids a fantastic target to aim for, a great career point they can target. And they say, you know, I want to be part of this World Cup in this country. I want to be show off my skills in front of my family and my friends and the nation. And I think that's a really powerful message for kids. And it also enables them to see that I actually can be in a team that is the best, genuinely the best in the world. I think that's a really great motivator for kids.
Gosh, I'm looking on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald today, Kearnsy, and it says MCG might get final. Surely it's got to be in Sydney. Surely.
Well, after we get the, announcement going our way in May, that's when we'll start to work with World Rugby. We actually don't have the final say on where that final is played. But, you know, we've got three terrific venues that in this country that can host the final in terms of the numbers that World Rugby mandate. So it's got to be in a stadium of greater than 60,000 people. We have Perth, which is in a good time zone for the Northern Hemisphere. We've got the MCG, which will hold 90 to 100,000 people. And then we've got Sydney, which is really the home of rugby, and with a massive stadium out there, which has held big events before. So we've got three terrific stadia that can do it, but we're a little way off announcing where that's going to be.
I don't know whether you can tell us or not, Kearnsy, but in terms of finances, what does this mean for Rugby Australia? And, you know, we all know that, you know, they made a lot of money after the last World Cup, and that's no longer there. But what will that mean to sort of the Pathways program of rugby in this country and the ability to keep some of our best talent here in Australia playing rather than have them go overseas and play?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, for what it means for Australia is enormous. It's $2.5 billion will come into our local economy from the 27 World Cup, and there'll be more because of the lead-in to the legacy events. There's a whole bunch of things that'll come into that. The World Cup in 2003, it's no secret, we made about $43 million for our code, and I know in rugby league and AFL terms, that may not be a lot of money, but it's a lot of money in our terms. We aim to make a lot more than that if we can, and that's one of the things that we're working with World Rugby over the next couple of months is to finalise that financial model to see what we can actually do out of it. And one of the targets this time around, which is a bit different and to be applauded, is the establishment of, let's call it a future fund for rugby, where we can use that money that we make to, you know, make it a long-term investment into the game rather than something that was pretty short-term back then.
What did you make of the Wallabies' progress this year, Kernsey?
I actually think there were some good signs. Unfortunately, the tour was marred by, well, two things, poor refereeing, but also some of our players not being available to play. And I've got, you know, no doubt that guys like Corabetti and Coretti in the centres would have made a big difference for us. But I think the other thing it showed is actually how strong the Northern Hemisphere is. In that last weekend of games over there, South Africa lost, New Zealand lost to France easily, Australia lost, Argentina lost. So the Northern Hemisphere is strong. They've got plenty of money up there. They've got good programs. But as you all know, you don't want to peak in between World Cups.
No.
Which is where we are now.
Yeah. I love your thinking, Kernsey.
In your mind at the moment, though, Kernsey, from what you've seen this year of all those sides, who's sort of the favourite at this stage, 2 years out?
Oh, France. Absolutely no doubt. They've won the last three under-20 World Cups, and those players are coming through the system now, and they'll be primed by the time the World Cup comes around in 2023.
Well, mate, well done on getting us this far, and let's hope it's all rubber-stamped next year. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, gentlemen. Great to chat. Anytime.
Hang on to that ball, Kernsey.
I won't let it go, mate. You know.
Good on you.
Phil Kearns there, the bid director, as it looks as though we'll be hosting the World Cup. We're all but there in 2027 at a time when, let's face it, Australian rugby will really need it.